Will you not listen? Why won't you listen? God has spoken love to us. Why will you not listen? Is not he who formed the ear worth the time it takes to hear? Listen as he speaks through living parables that must be heard. Parables that must be heard.
Well, today we're going to continue our series on the parables of Jesus. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Our scripture reading today is going to come from Matthew 21. And at the beginning of this chapter, we see what we know as the triumphal entry. Jesus instructs his disciples to fetch a donkey, and he rides into Jerusalem. And they wave the palm branches and praise the name of the Lord. And I'll tell you what, the Jewish religious leaders recognize this as a sign out of the Old Testament that Jesus was making a proclamation of who he was, and they did not like it at all. And then Jesus kind of doubled down. When he got to the temple, he found something going on that disgusted him. There were money changers in the temple. Now, changing money wasn't the issue, but they were skimming a profit off the top and taking advantage of God's people. And as Jesus came into this place of worship, he turned over the tables and he said, "You guys have taken my Father's house of prayer and made it into a den of thieves." The Jewish religious leaders had had enough, and they decided to confront Jesus. And so that's where our scripture reading takes place in Matthew 21. We're going to start in verse 23. If you'd like to follow along in a chair Bible, you'll find this on page 791. We will continue reading, so we ask you to keep your Bible open to this passage. When Jesus returned to the temple and began teaching, the leading priests and elders came up to him. They demanded, "By what authority are you doing all these things? Who gave you the right?" "I'll tell you by what authority I do these things if you answer one question," Jesus replied. "Did John's authority to baptize come from heaven, or was it merely human?" Now, I got to pause here for a moment and tell you, I love what Jesus did here. They asked him a question. Some would say it was kind of a tough question. And how does Jesus respond? He puts a question back to them. And I think that's something that we need to learn to do too. There's a lot of people that question what we believe and why we believe it and why we practice our faith in the way that we do. And a lot of times we're not sure what to say, so we just kind of back up and we don't say anything. But a lot of times unbelievers don't realize how difficult it is to defend their unbelief. And we need to learn to ask good questions too. So he poses a question back to them. "Well, what about John? Where did his authority come from?" So look what happens next. They talked it over among themselves. Now, if we say it was from heaven, he'll ask us, "Why didn't we believe John?" But if we say it was merely human, we'll be mobbed because the people believed John was a prophet. So they finally replied, "We don't know." And Jesus responded, "Then I won't tell you by what authority I do these things." Wow. That's pretty interesting, isn't it? They want to challenge his authority to teach, to do the miracles, even to upset the business at the temple. And they want to question him, but they don't know what to do about it. So they try to humiliate him, and he turns it right around on them. And then Jesus teaches the parable that we're going to talk about today. But I want you to keep in mind the Pharisees who say they're following God, but are acting in a way that's very different than God wants. So let's pick it up in verse 28. "But what do you think about this? A man with two sons told the older boy, 'Son, go out and work in the vineyard today.' The son answered, 'No, I won't go.' But later he changed his mind and went anyway. Then the father told the other son, "You go." And he said, "Yes, sir, I will." But he didn't go. Which of the two boys obeyed his father? Now let's take a moment and contrast what's going on here. We got son number one who defiantly tells his dad, "No, I won't go." But later he decides, "I better go do it." And he does. Then you have son number two who sounds like the good son, right? "Yes, sir." Even got the sir in there. "I'll go. I'll do it. I will." But he never gets around to it. Now, Jesus' question here is, which of the two obeyed his father? But you know what the truth is? Both sons dishonored their father, right? One by his words, and the other by his actions. But they both disobeyed their father. Ultimately, the first son technically obeyed the father because he went and did it, but he was not very respectful in the way that he talked to his dad. Well, let's see what Jesus says as we pick it up halfway through verse 31. So they replied, the first, meaning the first son, obeyed his father. Then Jesus explained his meaning. "I tell you the truth, corrupt tax collectors and prostitutes will get into the kingdom of God before you do. For John the Baptist came and showed you the right way to live, but you didn't believe him, while the tax collectors and prostitutes did. Even when you saw this happening, you refused to believe him and repent of your sins." Wow! Jesus really unloaded on him, didn't he? Because everybody knew that the tax collectors and the prostitutes were disobedient to God. They knew what God's word said, but they weren't going to obey it. But now that they heard the message to repent, they were coming back to faith. They were coming back to their heavenly Father. But the Jewish religious leaders, who were the sons that said, "I will," they weren't repentant. So we have these two sons. Son number one, who was a blatant sinner. This represented a wide swath of people. And then we have people that fit under the category of son number two, and these are the religious hypocrites. Now, the blatant sinners are some people who struggle with making a commitment to follow God. You may have known people like this when you were a young person growing up who wouldn't listen to their parents, wouldn't come to church, wouldn't study God's word. They had a hard time making a commitment to follow God. But later in life, maybe something woke them up. And once they do, they develop this discipline and enthusiasm to honor it. And they live lives that really do honor God. But people who are religious hypocrites, they're the kind of people who don't really struggle with making a commitment to follow God. They're the sons that say, "Yeah, I'll do it." But once they say it, they struggle in their obedience to follow him. Well, it's pretty clear to understand the meaning of this parable because Jesus explained it right in their faces. Remember, sometimes Jesus didn't explain the parables. Sometimes he explained them to just his disciples. But here, he explains it to the Jewish religious leaders. And man, he rubbed their nose in it. But I have a question for you today as we consider this parable of Jesus. And I want to ask you this. Which son do you identify with the most? Have you been outwardly rebellious but willing to change? Or are you like the other son who was outwardly compliant, "Yes, sir, I'll do it," but unwilling to obey? Which son do you identify with the most? Well, as you're thinking about that, I want to remind you of a passage we read in our ABF week before last in 1 John 5:3. John wrote this, "Loving God means keeping his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome." We make a big issue sometimes of following God's word. But his commands are not burdensome. There's a lot of people that say, well, I don't want to go to church. I don't want to read the Bible. All it's got is a bunch of stuff that you can't do. That's not a fair reading of God's word. God gave us his word as an instruction manual for life. And if you want to live a rich, full, and abundant life, follow the owner's manual. We don't keep his commandments to earn our salvation. We keep his commandments, as we read in our second John study this week, out of love for God. We show our love for him by keeping his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Paul wrote in Romans 2:13, another important thing. He said, merely listening to God's law does not make us right with God. A lot of people know what God wants them to do, but look what Paul says next. It is obeying the law that makes us right in his sight. James wrote in chapter 1, verses 22 to 25, don't just listen to God's word, you must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you looked like. So imagine, if you will, you look at yourself in a mirror and you see dirt on your face or something stuck in your teeth, and you walk away and don't do anything about it. You might forget because you're no longer in front of the mirror, but everybody else sees it. And James is saying God's word is like that mirror. It shows me what's going on in my life, and it shows me what I need to change. And he says, if you look carefully into the perfect law that, what? Sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you've heard, then God will bless you from doing it. Isn't that an amazing promise? When we actually live out God's word and do what he says, God will bless us. And then Luke records something really difficult that Jesus said. It's in Luke's telling of the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus asked this question to those who were following him. He said, why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say? That's a fair question, isn't it? If we claim that Jesus is Lord and Master of our life, but then we don't follow his teachings, why do we call him Lord? Jesus went on to say, I will show you what it's like when someone comes to me, listens to my teaching, and then follows it. It's like a person building a house who digs deep and lays the foundation on solid rock. When the floodwaters rise and break against that house, it stands firm because it's built well. But anyone who hears and doesn't obey is like a person who builds a house without a foundation. When the floods sweep down against that house, it'll collapse into a heap of ruins. Obviously, Jesus wasn't giving an architecture lesson here, but he was using our understanding of how to build a solid house to talk about how to build a solid life. The best way to build a solid life, according to the owner's manual, is to follow his teachings. And when we do, even though the rain is going to fall on the just and the unjust, when the rain falls on those of us who follow God and who obey his word, we still may experience the storm, but we'll be left standing when the storm is over. So I want to ask you today a little bit about your relationship with God. I kind of wonder, have you ever been in a place in your life where you made a bargain with God? Maybe you got some really bad news. Maybe it was a health issue or a financial issue or a relationship issue with someone in your family. Do you ever bargain with God? Say something like, God, if only you will do this, then I will do that. Some of the most common bargaining chips that people use is, God, if you'll only help me here, then I'm going to start going to church again. Well, I got news for you. God doesn't have a cosmic attendance book. And he's not grading on a curve. Did you come most Sundays or did you come on the high holy days? But what God is looking at is your heart. Are you coming because you have to or because you want to? Another common bargaining chip is, God, if only you'll help me here, then I'm going to start reading my Bible and praying more. I'm going to have a personal quiet time with you. Some people might say, well, God, if only you'll help me, I'm going to participate in some kind of a small group. I'm going to start going to that Bible study. Some people might say, God, if you'll only help me here, I'm going to start finding a ministry in which I can serve. Or some people might say, you know, Lord, I haven't really had much to give, but if you bail me out here, I'm going to start giving like I should. Or some people might say, God, if you'll only help me, then maybe I will take discipleship training. Maybe I will study so I can tell other people about my faith. I don't know what it might be, but have you ever been in a place where you made a bargain with God? You know how that usually goes? A lot of times God holds up his end of the bargain, but what happens with you and me? We kind of forget, don't we? We don't always follow through. But God is faithful. So I want to come back to that question I asked earlier. Which of the two sons can you most relate to? Are you like the son that blatantly said, I won't go, but now you're coming around? Or are you like the son who said, sure, Dad, I'll go, but you never get around to it? Well, I don't know which you can relate to the most, but I'm going to hope and pray that you have this conversation with God this week, and that's kind of how my challenge is going to come down to this week. I want to challenge you to have an honest conversation this week with your Heavenly Father about your obedience to Him. Are you like son number one? Are you like son number two? Are you openly defiant but later come around? Or are you outwardly compliant but don't get around to it? I think this parable, as short as it is, one of the shortest that we'll consider this summer, has a powerful question for us: how well we're listening to our Father. And you know, the other way this impacts us is that not only does God see our reaction, but do you know that the other people in our lives see our reaction too? They can tell whether our walk matches our talk. Many people are good at talking a good faith. The hard part is walking it out. But I don't know about you, but when I look at people and when their walk matches their talk, I can respect that. And if you want to have an influence and an impact on your family, on your friends, on your co-workers for the Lord, they need to see that in your life too. And that's why I think this parable is so challenging for all of us today. Would you pray with me, please? Lord God, we thank you for these parables of Jesus. We thank you that sometimes he even spells out the meaning so we have no doubt what he's trying to say. And Lord, it's so easy when you've been following for a while to point out disobedience in other people's lives. It's really hard to look in the mirror and sometimes see the ways in which we are not being obedient. So, Father, I pray that you'll help each one of us reflect on this parable this week and have a talk with you as our Heavenly Father about our relationship. Help us to identify ways in which maybe we have said no and gone our own way, but we feel this pull to come back to you. On the other hand, help us if we see ourselves as overly religious and compliant, but never quite getting around to do what we really know you want us to do. Help us come to a point of decision, Lord, where we're going to follow you, not because we have to, that we're going to follow you not to do the least that we can do and still be good with you, but to give our hearts to you and follow you because we love you and because we want to. And Lord, help us walk that faith out in such a way that the people that you've put in our lives that don't yet know you can see it. So it gives us an opportunity to share the good things you've done for us with them so that they can experience this relationship with their Heavenly Father too. Lord, we love you. We thank you for this parable of Jesus. Help us make changes that we need to make this week. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing our sermon response song.